Hello and welcome to the Celtic Women's Football Show. I am your host, Claire Wilde, and I am joined by Lorenzo Pacitti. We are back for a sort of mid-transfer window catch-up. It's been a long time since we've done this, Lorenzo. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to be back. I don't know, I'm a Football Manager fan, so this is like my favourite time of the season, technically, where the season ends and you get to sign all your new players and spend all your money. But we're also Celtic fans, so that doesn't happen that much. But it's nice. It's nice to look ahead and, you know, we can reflect as well on the season that's passed. We're removed from it now to kind of understand how brilliant it was, and now we just have to kind of see what we can do going forward to replicate those moments.
I know, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, it is that typical part of the year where, you know, it was such an emotional and kind of high kind of octane end to the season, and I was so desperate for it to end by the time it did, because it just felt like I just needed a break, and then I'm so desperate for it all to be back now. But yeah, it's not actually long to wait when things are happening, and we're going to talk about them. We've obviously had some comings and goings. I think one of the first things I wanted to kind of talk about, just in terms of the transfer window in general and how that works in women's football, because I think that, you know, we have had quite a few departures, and comparing it to what happened last season, it's not massively dissimilar, but I think we have definitely lost more than we've gained than we were at this time last year. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because it just doesn't work the same as the men's game.
No, it's something, you know, we'll have people that are new to the women's game, you know, with the uptake and interest that will be here on the podcast, or kind of coming along the journey with Celtic women in general. You do have to get used to this. I think we've been really spoilt in terms of a few players sticking around longer than usually they do, or not having to see players tied down on contracts. The positive about this summer, as much as we're losing a lot of players, is that the players we're retaining, we are seeing on longer term contracts,
which is
rare. And that's kind of exciting, just for the kind of formality of the league and the professionalism kicking on again. You know, when we sign players we're excited about, we want to see them on 2-3 year contracts, because again, transfer fees aren't much of a thing outside the bigger leagues. So if we do have players, you know, like we're excited about, like when we had Charlie Welling scoring a billion goals, to know that somebody like that could be tied down and we would have to command a fee should she want to leave, or should a club want to come get her, that's a big step. But outgoings will happen in huge numbers every year, and it's just something sadly to get used to.
Yeah, the amounts of money involved, and the, you know, we always talk about this, the way in which, you know, personal considerations will override it a lot of the time, because the money isn't good enough to keep people in situations that maybe from a personal point of view they're not into, or from their footballing career they don't feel is the best move for them at that moment. I mean, we'll go on to talk about all of the movement, but, you know, I think a good example of that is Liv Ferguson has gone, and she's just joined Wolves, which I think for them feels like a huge coup. They're in the third tier of English football, but she's a Wolves fan. It just, the whole thing sort of seems to make sense from her on a professional and personal level as a footballer, and it's not necessarily the sort of sensible move that you would feel like it might happen in the men's game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the men's game is much more, I mean, we just saw Jota move to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, the less said about that, the better from my perspective.
The men's game is so money-driven. And when it's ambition-driven, it's much more obvious. There's a much clearer echelon of Champions League clubs. There's so many more clubs, more players. So to get the opportunity to do that is much more cut and dry. If you're at this level of the women's game, like you said, probably the overriding factor is a personal one of how close are you to your family? Do you feel comfortable where you're playing? Do you enjoy your football? And then if you're going to try and take a step up, you really have to make the move when you get a chance in this game. You know, we've seen a few stars of the SWPL move down south to WSL.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened with that much regularity in the past. And maybe now this is the door kind of coming open a wee bit for players from this league to take that step, and a bit more respect has been shown. The players that play their domestic football in Scotland, and hopefully players like Jenna Clark, who's gone down from Glasgow City to Liverpool, will perform, and that will help the league in general, with much like, you know, Virgil van Dijk going down there from Celtic and becoming the best centre-back in English football. These things is what kind of drags up the value of our players.
Yeah, Jenna Clark's a really good example. Sam Kerr from Rangers going to Bayern as well was a massive one. And I think Emma Watson, the young Rangers player, is going to end up somewhere. She'll, I think, the WSL, I think it's Manchester United. I don't think it's been announced yet.
That's the prevailing theory. And as we know, when women's football, if there's a transfer rumour, it's because it's 100% factual, usually.
While you mentioned those kind of longer term contracts, it's probably, let's start with the extensions that we've got. And you mentioned us sort of locking in a few players. We've already talked about getting the Caitlin Hayes contract until 2026, because that happened before the end of the season. And it weirdly definitely calmed my nerves before we went into the last couple of really, really big games that saw out the league. And then the cup. And recently we've just had, so not long after that, we had Maria McEnany signing her contract till 2026. Very different type of player, much younger, much rawer, one that we know a lot less about and have seen play a lot less, but really like. And then just recently, Natalie Ross and Kelly Clark having their contracts announced till 2026. Two of the players who I think not only I can't really imagine the team without them, but also, you know, they're great players and leaders on the park. So to have that kind of stability is really important.
Yeah, the stability is the big one with those names, because it seems almost like the obvious ones. It's the ones you're less expecting to leave. And that's not because there wouldn't be offers or opportunities. It's because they feel so embedded in the club. So if anything, it seems like a really welcome reward for players like Natalie Ross, Kelly Clark, Caitlin Hayes, in a team that usually you see one-year contracts, you see this almost semi-professionalism, it's certain elements of it. For them to be rewarded with that stability themselves is really key. And I think particularly how the club is stuck by Natalie in her recovery and how she came back and gave us so much.
Yeah.
She deserves to have an extension, to have a consistent contract that's more than a year long, to give her that safety. Mm-hmm. As somebody who suffered such a debilitating injury that really took years off her career. Mm-hmm. The way she's come back has been amazing. And so I think those names, they're all players who are really synonymous with Celtic women, which is just so cool to have them tied down, like you say. And it's almost like the spine of a team there. And you've got one end of it, Kelly Clark, been here forever, captain, and then Maria, who, you know, seems dyed in the wool Celtic, has been great when she's come on. She's the next kind of exciting star we have on our hands. It's homegrown, so mm-hmm. to see those two ends of it get contract extensions is really cool.
Yeah, and I think just the increased openness with which clubs, not just Celtic, seem to be talking about contract lengths. I mean, it still can be quite tricky to find out, you know, especially now looking at this transfer window, and you have to kind of go back historically to when players signed and see if you can actually kind of dig out any information that you can find about how long their contracts were for. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't, but you'd like to think that just for the transparency that, you know, the ones that we're signing this, we're signing them on 2-year deals, the new players that we'll talk about, and that's happening in other clubs as well, I think, in the SWPL.
Yeah, this is just like, it's just little steps we talk about all the time, but we want to know what's going on. Fans want to know every single tiny thing about their club, so the more we can get, the better, and the less guesswork involved in. There's been summers we've gone into doing this podcast where we're like, I think she's on a contract. You know, our best players, and we're like, are they just free agents now that the league's finished?
I mean, there's still a little bit of that floating around.
There's very much quite a lot of that, yeah.
Let's get into it. We've lost some players. Let's just rattle through who's departed the club. So who we will be without next season. There is a kind of group of young players who have gone, who players that we were either on loan, Olivia Potter, Leah Dobbins, who we barely saw play, or who made, I think Leah made like a 5-minute appearance at one point. And maybe it's a bit unfair, but I was going to lump Abby Ferguson in with that group, who has made a really good move to Hibs. The other two youngsters that I mentioned there have gone to America, which seems to be a path that a lot of players of that age take to go and do their studying and play soccer in the US. So Abby Ferguson has gone to Hibs, who seem to be making signings all over the place and taking on players, and they've got Grant Scott as their new manager, so that's exciting. I don't think particularly there's an awful lot to say about what we'll be missing from the team, seeing as she didn't really feature for us.
Yeah, Potter's a funny one because she always seemed to be quite highly rated. She seemed a talented player. She had a good loan spell. But like you say, it seems it's a personal thing. That pathway seems more lucrative. It definitely is. I mean, the American soccer setup has a bunch of leagues to play in that have good fan bases and are pretty much professional. And you can do your studying and come back if you need to. So we've seen a lot of players from here go do that. So that makes more sense to me if you're her age, then coming back here and maybe sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
Whether she was ready for first team football, who knows? Abby Ferguson's a funny one just because, you know, that's a striker at Celtic is always, if we lose strikers, we seem to be like completely bereft of any. If we get one injury, we always have this kind of one focal point striker and there's not a lot coming up behind them. So Abby Ferguson having a pretty good loan move again and again being somebody people are pretty excited about to see her leave is a little sad because you'd like to see what she would do given a wee run maybe, but great move for her. The Edinburgh teams are making so many good moves. They're making signings all over the place that just make sense and it almost feels like what has been lacking in the men's side of the Edinburgh game in terms of like picking up these players who can play at this level and need their chance. And
yeah.
I think the Hearts team in particular looks to be really stacked for next year and really exciting and a little worrying until we get, you know, our squad together that they're going to make a dent. But on the flip side of that, we're always looking for teams that can take points off the two around us. And Hearts did that last season and it seems they've strengthened massively this summer already in Hibs with the chaos their season started in last year. They're getting their work done early.
Yeah,
they've got a squad totally together different. Of players you know. Mm-hmm. New management and it just seems to be all kicking off for them. But for us, it's always sad to lose players, particularly young players who we've kind of followed for a couple of years and when are they going to make their breakthrough and we don't get to see it. It's a bit of a shame.
They might do collect Kavanagh and come back there. You never know.
Again, the women's game is so, these contracts, it means that these things are always on the table, which is fun.
Yeah, there's definitely a kind of statement of intent coming from the Edinburgh side. And I think it means that this league is going to be really exciting again, maybe in a totally different way next season. But, you know, it's constantly surprising us. So I'm quite excited about what it's got in store for us, especially with the way that they are putting their squads together. Another player that's gone to Hibs is Tegan Bowie, who has basically been in the Celtic side for as long as we've been recording this podcast, as long as I've been following this team. She's been in and around the squad. You and I have spoken about her before. You know, she was a player who would come on the last couple of seasons from the bench and she had that pace and she had some accuracy in the crossing and she could take that place on the wing, but she just wasn't getting the game time. And this move makes sense again for her, doesn't it? Because if she's not going to be playing for us, she needs to be playing somewhere else.
Yeah, she, you know, when she had her best run at Celtic, she was in the Scotland squad. You know, this is a talented player.
Yeah.
So it's a great move for her. And with this kind of Hibs revolution, she's got connections there as well. She seems to be somebody who really needs this chance. And I think she'll jump all over it. At Celtic, she's a player we like, but you know, she was behind the LAC at the start of the season, who is phenomenal. I'm so glad she seems to be, you know, very much at the forefront of Celtic's plans next year. And then Lou, who we haven't really seen Lou this summer, but, you know, a player who was on fire, team of the season. She just wasn't going to get that game time. So really good for her to be playing at this Hibs team. It seems like a really exciting move.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how we play against her, because I'm sure she will be making more starts. A couple of other players who, again, were more players who a lot of the time were coming off the bench but played a significant role last season were Taylor Otto and Liv Ferguson. Taylor Otto has gone to Gotham FC. She's moved back to the States. And Liv Ferguson, as I previously mentioned, has gone to her family club of Wolves, back down to England. I think neither of us were massively surprised that they moved on after this season, even despite the fact that they were with us for kind of such a short time.
Yeah, I don't think we'll miss them too much. Nothing but good things to say about them. I think Liv in particular coming off the bench is somebody who had a really specific role and who really filled it well, and she's a very likable player. Taylor started quite well It just seemed like she never quite fit in the system.
Yeah.
There wasn't really a place to put her and who you'd swap out for her, and maybe not quite at this level yet to kind of play consistently week in, week out. So, yeah, good move for her to go back to America. You know, she's dipped her toe in European football now as well. She did a really good job, I think, come the end of the season, kind of coming on as a defensive reinforcement big games that we were seeing out. She did a really, really good job at that. It was just that there wasn't really a week-by-week starting role for her to kind of find, and she never really put her stamp on it. So, yeah, good for them to get fresh starts, but, you know, they did well while they were here.
Yeah, I would agree with that when you talk about Taylor, and also with Liv. She obviously kind of gained notoriety with that smirk at the Rangers player, which I was asked about. I did a Wolves podcast last night because they wanted to talk about her, and I felt a little bit, just you saying there, that, you know, nothing bad to say about her. I felt a little bit like they were asking me about her as a player, and I felt like I shortchanged them a bit, because I just said we didn't see her kind of come into her own. We didn't see as much of her as we would have wanted to. And if Fran has decided that she wasn't going to be part of the plans, then it's maybe best that she moves to somewhere where, like that, where not only is it the club she supported as since she was a kid, but like you could see that she's someone who maybe would be a leader on the park as well, like, and could take in that role in a different team.
Yeah, really excited for her. I think she just has done so many cameo appearances for us instead of kind of getting that run of games. And she's been behind some great strikers too.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we've commented on her playing, she gets in brilliant areas. She's really, really committed, but she kind of, she rushed a lot of finishes. And we put that down to somebody who's kind of frustrated on the bench needing to make an impact and you snatch at chances. So like you say, if she takes up a more leadership role, a club she loves, she's familiar with, more familiar surroundings, maybe she'll thrive.
Yeah. Tash Flint, there was speculation, would we be able to keep her after the loan spell? My understanding is that the club did try and keep her after the loan spell, but the money in the WSL was obviously too much of a temptation. And I think as well, you know, probably in terms of personal, you know, she's a player from England. I think she probably wanted to go back down to England. She signed for Liverpool, so she'll be playing alongside Jenna Clarke. So that'll be an interesting team to keep an eye on this season in the WSL, but not a massive surprise, that one, was it?
No, I think when it got announced that she wouldn't be staying at Celtic, there were a lot of comments, again, from people that are brand new to the kind of setup here, that almost would have assumed that we've just kind of let her go. But there's only so far our resources seem to be able to push the boat out for the women's team right now, and can compete with the WSL. And I think it's been maybe she's a good sign for other strikers like her who have played, you know, at that level and who have either lost their way a wee bit or been in teams that have got relegated or whatever, or found themselves on the bench, that there's an avenue up here to come show that ability to take on that leadership role and go back down. And maybe that's something we need to explore more.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, that's what happened with Charlie Wellings, wasn't it? And she's ended up at Reading, who have found themselves in a pickle. But I think at this point, my understanding is she's sticking around to be part of that part-time setup. So Tash Flint's away. I'm kind of saving the worst. I'm going to talk about Clara Reardon, and then I'm saving the worst ones till last. I think Clara Reardon, I was quite surprised. I honestly thought she would stick around. I felt like she'd really found her groove in that back three, that this was a team that really suited her, that, you know, starting to score goals from set pieces at the end of the season and kind of get some of that glory and understand what it's like playing for. I don't know. I was just a bit like, oh, Claire, don't go.
Yeah, I mean, this is a player who plays in orange boots just so she's always like a tricolour. So maybe there's a move on the cards. You know, she ended the season so well. This is, you know, Claire was a player that I was not really convinced about for the longest time.
Yeah.
But the way she ended the season, those last few months, she was just dynamite. And at Parkhead she was great. The cup final she was phenomenal. So it's a real shame to see her go. Not what I was expecting, like you said, just totally out of the blue. So interesting to see what her next move is. Hopefully,
I mean, she's at the World Cup. She's really come into her own in that Ireland squad as well, and she scored goals for them. So, you know, that's an amazing experience, and I'm sure off the back of that, she will certainly be courting offers from clubs. So it will be interesting to see where she ends up. Holy goalie Pamela Takonar is away. That was an earlier announcement. That was probably one of the the first ones that hit us in the gut the last few weeks.
That one seems somewhat inevitable, I think, as much as it's horrible, because she was so good. But she's, you know, much older than our, than most of our players, particularly our goalkeepers. So that personal thing does come into even more. I think at this, that stage of her career, to take the leap to come to Scotland, to play under Fran, to see, you know, play in a Celtic jersey, was an exciting, you know, near end chapter for her in her career. And I'm really glad she did it. And she committed so much to the team, and she did so, so well in the big games in particular. So it's really sad to see her go, but as I understand it, she's probably going to go back home.
She's signed for a team in Mexico. Yeah. She signed for Monterrey. So I think as well, you know, it's the stage in your life. She's like 36. It's probably a time when you do want to start, you know, if she's going to hang up her gloves at some point, start settling somewhere where she can decide what her next step is. But she's going to be a huge miss. And it seems really weird to say that. I'm pretty sure Chloe Logan will be sticking around. We haven't sort of had confirmation of contracts and stuff. Chloe Logan and Rachel Johnston. But we were sort of so happy with them as a pair of goalkeepers who were almost not interchangeable, but they were both working really, really hard and doing really, really well. They both got injured. Pam comes in, and it's almost now they have got to come back in and really show what they're made of, because they've been set an example that is really, really high.
Yeah, in the words of Kendall Roy, big shoes. big shoes. But they've been out for so long with such bad injuries. You just, like, there's no real way to, we know how much we like them as goalkeepers, but when you're out that long, you know, if there's some position you're going to get kind of rusty, I think it's probably goalkeeper. So let's hope they have a good preseason. Mm-hmm. I think they will compete with each other, and that will really speed up their kind of match fitness, which is really good to see. And obviously they're just so likeable and good to have around the squad. So
we've got a couple of other young goalkeepers coming through as well that you see them training with. I think that goalkeeping unit, we've always said that the coaches and that kind of little bubble seems like a really good sort of separate almost squad of people. And I've got really high hopes for them coming back this season and see what they can do. Jacinta is away. Lorenzo is essentially just walking off screen at this point.
It had to happen one day. She was here for so long comparatively, you know, for players of her kind of caliber. You were thinking if this was going to be the season that we kind of turned the corner and we were playing games at Parkhead and we're winning things, maybe there was some hope that we would invest a wee bit in a few of these players or do something. I will never know what the club can do or what they did do, to maybe offer Jacinta another year or something. But she is irreplaceable, I think, at this level as a footballer. We're going to really have to get lucky to replace Jacinta's output and her just ability. Again, a lot of people who are new to the game might think because Carl Starfelt's here that apparently means Jacinta has to be here, but she's very much a star in her own right. So she'll go. I think she's got so many options. There's so many leagues above ours, you know, in Europe that are exciting to go to. There's steps up she can make. And I think as a free agent, she'll have a lot of really exciting offers. You wonder which avenue she'll go, if she'll go back to WSL. She was quite young when she went there the first time. There's so many good leagues to go to. And she obviously declared for Argentina as a player, which gives her a much quicker footing into international football as well. So really excited to see where she goes next. We'll 100% be following her career. But from a Celtic perspective, it is completely devastating. I think the only thing above it would be Caitlin Hayes, because you can't imagine how that team even operates without Caitlin Hayes.
I feel quite emotional when I think about Jacinta leaving.
You just don't know what her attack looks like, I think, without Jacinta right now.
And it's weird because I was convinced she was leaving last summer. Even at the beginning of the season, I was like, this is the bonus year we're getting out of her. And I kind of, when she signed, there was a sort of, I think she signed alongside Kelly and maybe Craigie. There was a day where they'd all signed like contracts to extend for a year. And I was like, right, oh my God, that's amazing. We've got her for another year. So I wasn't in no way surprised that she was leaving us. I think the whispers I've heard is that she really wants to play in Spain. So I think she does want to play in Europe. But that isn't confirmed and we don't know where she's going. But she's clearly got like a huge amount of ambition. And, you know, I think probably wanted to keep the momentum of her career going as well, despite whatever success we could achieve next year. And, you know, again, all the best to her. And like you, we will just be following her and hoping that she, you know, gets into that Argentina side, and we're watching her play in whichever league she ends up in. But horrible, horrible news to get.
Listen, she's lifted trophies. She's played at Parkhead and had her name sung by thousands of people. Uh-huh. You know, she has had that Celtic experience, and she's given us a lot of those big moments. So, yeah, I think you could argue from her perspective, she's done it. She's uh-huh. been here and done it. There's only the league title would have been left, but are we competing for the league title, you know, off the pitch? Is she going to get the idea that this team's going to improve uh-huh. every year? Or, like, is she seeing we're losing some of our best players on freeze? So I think, like you say, she doesn't want her career to stagnate. She is a total star. She started her career in Europe so early that she's still very young. So, you know, there's definitely ways to go, and yeah, really exciting for her, where her career goes.
Let's move on to, I haven't missed anyone, have I? Any significant departures that we haven't talked about?
I don't think so. No. Well, maybe more to come, but who knows?
Yeah, I think there are definitely some players with question marks hanging over their heads, which we might just mention towards the end of this podcast. But let's be positive and talk about some of the new players that we've got coming in. We've already talked about the contract extensions. The first one to talk about is Jenny Smith, who was the first signing of the summer, really, from Hearts. We signed her on her 21st birthday. I think she's 21. She's been at Hearts for a significant period of time. It's funny, isn't it? Because you say, we don't know. It's funny because we watch the league, and obviously we watch these teams week in and week out. But you're not necessarily, you don't know who we're going to end up with or who you should be watching. And there might be players that we've been watching who we think we would like, who we don't end up going near. And then there are players like, for me, Jenny, who I hasn't necessarily been on my radar, but I'm hearing only good things about. She's talked about wanting to attack, go forward. She's listed as a midfielder. But as we know, in Fran's system, it'll just be a wait and see where she kind of fits in best and where he decides to play her, because, you know, players can move around quite significantly. What did you think about that signing?
Yeah, there's other players at Hearts in particular that I've had my eye on, and we talked about the end of the season. Like, you want to see her start sweeping up some of these players, like Tim's at Hearts and stuff like that. You know, there are players of quality who really showed out for Hearts last season. And when they're trying to build in that squad, they've committed to those players and signed a lot of them up on contracts. And obviously, maybe Jenny was the one who had her head turned by Celtic, which is good to see, because that's what we want, is players that want to come play for Celtic. When she left, I mean, the Hearts social media even was like a club legend was leaving. And some of the comments from the fans were pretty devastated. Somebody who maybe hasn't grabbed our attention on like the highlights we can watch of Hearts or against us in particular, even though, you know, Hearts should be struggling against us, to know that week in, week out, she's one of their better players. She's mm-hmm. a player the fans are sad to see leave. That's all positive. And, you know, to leave that project they're building at Hearts to come play for Celtic means that she wants to be here.
Yeah.
So that is exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar pathway to Amy Gallagher to coming to us from Hibs the season before, that maybe players who feel, who are Scottish, who've grown up in the Scottish system and just feel like they just want to kick on slightly to that next level, and then, you know, going to a club like Celtic, or dare I say Rangers, is the next opportunity for them. But delighted that we've got her. Speaking of Rangers players, Colette Kavanagh. Now, she is one that I've had my eye on for a number of years, because I thought she was going to sign for us when she left Hibs. And when she signed for Rangers, I was a bit like agape and like, what?
Yeah, I always thought it was pretty nailed on. She would be a Celtic player.
She's played for us before. She was here as a young player. I think this is basically her third time kind of coming back. And it just, when she signed for Rangers, it seemed like quite an odd move. And then she didn't hardly play for them.
Yeah, that Rangers team was so weird though last season. Like, we talked about this. There was a lot of times where they left really good players on the bench. It seemed like Malky definitely has an identity his team plays with, not a very good one, sadly for him.
But, well, he's not there anymore, so.
No, he has his favourites. And it was weird to see some players who I think are really good in the Rangers team get slightly frozen out of that team. So Colette's one of them. So, you know, she's somebody when she was at Hibs, we were like, well, hopefully she comes back to Celtic. We'd like to sign her. So now we've got her. It's only positive. And, you know, she's got tons of experience in this league, tons of experience at the highest level in this league. So all very positive signs for a free agent signing.
And she's 24. It's kind of a good age to get her, I think, having had, like you said, that experience. She scored, I was looking at her before we started recording, she made like 11 appearances, I think, and scored like 6 goals. I mean, they were goals against some of the, it was Glasgow Girls and Women, Dundee United and Hamilton. But still, there's a pretty good return on investment in terms of the minutes that she played. So I think she can really kick on with us. I'm really excited about that because I've wanted to see her play for Celtic again, because I think she left Celtic the last time just before I started watching Celtic. So yeah, haven't seen her play for us. We've signed a couple of players from overseas. We've got Noor Imani Adi, a Moroccan player, Moroccan international. Both of these players actually are international players, who has come to us from South Alabama Jaguars in the USA. So she's been playing with one of these kind of university affiliated football teams, which, as we know, it's a whole different setup up there, you know, out there. It's extremely professional at that level. She's 26. Again, everyone's just, I think they just blanket call people midfielders when we sign them. Is that what we do? And then kind of decide where they fit.
We do. I mean, we do have like, we have 2 centre backs and 8 midfielders. That's kind of how the team operates, to be fair.
She's 5'4", which was something I heard, saw someone mention about the fact that she uses that to her advantage, that low centre of gravity, sneaking around through players, and she can be quite kind of clever in attack. I mean, similarly, it sort of reminded me sometimes of what Jacinta can do. So yeah, maybe she's the replacement.
Short footballers, you know, the Barcelona team that changed the men's game entirely. You know, it means you should have better control of the ball.
So that's exciting. Did you have any other specific thoughts to add on that?
No, I mean, it's tough to know anything about that level in America, other than that they probably train more than nine teams out of the league that we have right now that we play in. You know, she's probably a very good athlete. And to hear, I always think when you hear somebody's an international, that's, you know, a level that we don't have across the side. So for me, the more internationals we have as a team, the better. So that's always exciting.
Yeah. And the other one is an Argentinian player called Luana Munoz, who has come from Racing Club, which seems to be her club as well. Like, this seems like a big personal move for her. She's clearly got a lot hanging on it, because she, you know, I started following her on Instagram, and, you know, her statement when she read it out about leaving the club was extremely emotional, and she was very attached to it. But she's a defender. She looks really interesting and really good. I mean, we obviously can't tell. Again, it's very difficult to get a huge amount of either video footage or information. But I think great to see us signing an out-and-out defender, right?
Yeah, particularly on the back of losing Claire. We've got that back three to fill. And we need to have competition in it. That's something, again, we've been lacking depth with centre-halves. So maybe let's get another one in at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, international, Argentina also a pretty good side, so, you know, not without any pedigree there. And I think that is cool, as you say, she's emotionally leaving a big side in Argentina. She's played at a good level in Argentina with big teams, so not shy of the pressure. Fran obviously instrumental when we get these Spanish speaking players. I think he really sells them on the club, and we saw that with Pam Tajonar, but hopefully there's a little bond there, and she can kind of give us what Pam gave us.
Yeah, it would be great to see that. And at this stage, it is literally a case of, you know, we start playing friendlies, we start sort of getting eyes on them and just seeing where Fran wants to put them, how they're performing, how they're working with the other players. But it's very difficult to make any predictions at this point. The other thing that's happened, we've got a couple of players who maybe have question marks over their heads, partly because they're at the World Cup. So we are 9 days out from the World Cup at this point. It starts on the 20th of July. Liv Chance is obviously a kind of stalwart of that. New Zealand team has gone out to be with them, and it was announced not that long ago that Shen has joined up with the Chinese team, so she's playing out there as well. great to see our players, like you said, like having these international opportunities. And Fran has always massively stressed how important it is for his players to have those international ambitions. It just makes us a little bit scared, right?
Yeah. Shen is so like bedded into Celtic now that like Shen's the, you know, the kits come out, Shen's in them. There's any media stuff, Shen's in it.
As soon as that away kit came out and she was, I was like, oh, it's fine, she's staying.
So, you know, that gives you a wee bit more hope. But yeah, great to see Shen in the national team. She's, again, somebody that finished the season really strong. I think if you're an international manager, to have a versatile player like that is an absolute dream. Weird to see Lou, you know, who had such a phenomenal season, not involved at that level. But again, we haven't, you know, we've got radio silence on the Lou front, it seems like, so far as well, which is a little bit scary.
Yeah, I heard a rumor that it might be visa issues or something, but completely unsubstantiated. And obviously, with international players, there are all those extra considerations to take into account.
Yep, and just very far away. A lot of our international players, they go very far.
We just want to scoop them all up holidays. And just keep them close. This is the time in the season when you're like scrutinizing Instagram stories for like every tiny little clue. I mean, you and I both sent each other, I think, Jacinta wished Maria a happy birthday while she was in Australia.
And I miss you.
Also, I don't know. And I said to Chris, oh my God, look at this. It means she's leaving. And Chris was like, don't be stupid. It's a birthday message. And you sent the exact same thing to me going, it means she's leaving. And I was like, I know. We were right in the end. I'm sure lots of people will be keeping an eye on the World Cup, although times are tricky with it being in Australia and New Zealand. You're going to have to get up early to watch some of those games. I think Liv is playing, because they're the hosts, Liv is playing in the first game. I think it's New Zealand-Norway is the first game of the tournament.
Tough game.
So we'll be watching that. A few question marks over other players, but again, it comes back to what we were talking about, that, you know, I think we as fans want the club to communicate everything with us at all times, and we feel like we should be in the know. And I think there's a balance to be struck, because obviously the club has to respect the wishes of the player in terms of information they want released about whether they're staying, whether they're going, what their intentions are. Their agents will be involved. There'll be all sorts of discussions happening about money, but it's kind of finding that balance, isn't it? Because sometimes it feels like we want like a little bit more information.
Yeah, I think it's tough, because in the men's game we get too much information. Like all football media now is transfer rumours that are completely unsubstantiated, complete bullshit, total waste of time, 99% of them.
Yeah.
I've completely tuned out of transfer chat in the men's game. In the women's game, yeah, it's like that radio silence, and it's kind of terrifying. And then the one thing you hear, it's like, oh my God, it's true. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. So yes, there needs to be a balance, I think, for our mental health. And for the players, like, it's tough to get too attached to players when it feels like they could leave on a drop of a hat. And the same for the players, you know, if we're talking about a professional league here, to constantly have rolling contracts is not showing commitment to the players you're signing. So I think everything just needs to kick on that step, but I do feel like that's a long way off.
Yeah, definitely. We'll probably be doing another one of these before we start, you know, playing the friendlies and leading into the first game of the season, which is August the 13th, up at Montrose away. Where do you think you would like to see us? You've already said at least one more defender. We're starting to stack up some midfielders, but if you look at the lit squad list at this point, we definitely need more through the door. So, I mean, in attack, I would say, you know, are we looking for an explicitly kind of a striker with pedigree, we might say?
Yeah, I think we need everything. Honestly, I think the squad's really been cold. You look at right back, Hannah Kerner had a horrendous injury. Is she going to be fit for the start of the season? Who knows? Up top, yeah, I'd like to see a striker come in. I'd be curious about Lucy coming back, if she could play a much more forward role, even than the one she has, maybe a more central role. She's got so much ability, particularly if we can hang on to Lou. You need the two of them to be playing the same team, because they're both outstanding.
Yeah, that would be fire. I'd love to see that.
So it's all about squad depth. Starting team wise, again, you want people with pedigree that can improve it. Other than that, it's all about squad depth for me. Because it depends who we hang on to. The World Cup needs to finish. Olivia Chance needs to come back and come back fit. You know, all these things are up in the air still.
Yeah. I also think this will maybe be a season, as most seasons are, where there will be at least a couple of players coming up who have started training with the first team from the academy, who players that we might not be familiar with at this point, who we might not know, but who we might get to know over the course of the season. You seem to have one in mind specifically.
Yes. It's not quite like unknown from the academy, but this is Tyree Burchill's breakout season. This is starting spot.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great shout. Coming back from... She was at Motherwell on loan, wasn't she? Had a great season there.
Great season.
What we can hope for... I mean, Maria is the example there, isn't it? Maria McEnany going and having that loan spell at Hearts, coming back, kind of firing on all cylinders, going to the camp in Gran Canaria last season. You know, you'd hope that Tyree would be able to replicate something similar to what Maria's done this season.
I really think the bits and pieces we saw of Tyree Burchill in a Celtic jersey, and then seeing the goals she was scoring, how she's performing, the leadership role she even seemed to have in that Motherwell team, I think she is a little bit of a cut above what we ever thought she was. I think she is going to really command a spot in this team, and I think Fran will give her that opportunity, because we saw her at right wing back, you know, for a while, just so she could be on the park. I think she had that quality, but she's quite an attacking player. And we've got a very versatile side with a ton of changing positions, and there's a lot up for grabs. I don't think there's a lot of secure starters in that team right now. So for me, this is like a big Tyree Burchill season, and I'm really excited about it.
The other thing I wanted to just bring up before we went, another bit of news that came out today, so it's kind of fresh in my mind, is the fact that it was over 100,000 people came to watch the SWPL last season, which was a kind of massively breakout record for what they've managed to achieve in the past. Really, really good news. And you just hope that the authorities, the powers that be, and the clubs are looking at that and going, right, here we go, put the investment in, put the time in, let's like smash this again next season.
I saw some negative comments about it that were like, oh, that's because of the games at the big stadiums, but that's entirely the point to me.
Yes.
Showpiece occasions is how you grow the game. Yeah, sure, week in, week out, you're not getting over 100 to some of these games at the weekend. There's teams that need to grow their own fan base. There's people that need to get involved. Even with the Excelsior, we don't see particularly big crowds at your average game. Maybe that'll change next season.
Hopefully it will, if you're listening, come.
But the point is that when you do the showpiece occasions, when you put it at the big stadiums, people come in such numbers that we're breaking this 100,000 barrier. So it is about more of those to spread out the average attendances throughout the season. It's not necessarily about, you know, having markers for how many we can hit weekly at Airdrie, because that shouldn't be the long-term plan. It should be how much interest is there that when we put a big game on at Celtic Park, whether it's a derby or a league decider, how many people are going to come? And we've set this marker now, and it's about beating that. So I think the numbers obviously inflated by the stadiums, but that for me is the big takeaway. It's not about the weekly attendances. That should be a focus for the TV coverage, in my opinion. And the attendances should be about when you put these games on a big pitch and a big crowd with a big stadium, how much do you fill it?
Yeah. Yeah. It will be great and interesting to see what the clubs do and whether they sort of do it from the off rather than save the big occasions for the end of the season, and whether they kind of put the investment in maybe even in the first half of the season. We so much still left to see. I think we're going to be signing off now and, you know, still constantly checking social media to see if we've found out about any more. I mean, should I do it now while we're recording, in case, you know, we're recording and we've signed someone? We're recording this on the Tuesday. I think we're putting it out on the Thursday, so who knows what will happen on Wednesday. We may have another player through the door that we haven't talked about, but it's been lovely to just catch up about it all. Lorenzo, thank you.
No worries. Yeah, it's good to be back. Yeah, and it's just exciting to think about the new season. I'm really excited about Tyree Burchill now. That's been my revolution of this podcast. I forgot she was back.
a few more weeks until we're fully back into the swing of the league, but I'm sure we will record again before then. We've also got Europe to look forward to. But until then, Lorenzo Pertutti, thank you very much.
Thanks, Claire.
I've been your host, Claire Wilde. This has been the Celtic Women's Football Show.